So let's begin. Today is also again not a Rashi Sicha, but it's a Lomdish, a kind of involved issue in Halacha. So basically it's going to be based on the parasha this week. And in the parasha this week, we have the second paragraph of the Shema. And in the Shema, we have the instruction, V'limadatem oisam es b'neichem, that you are instructed to teach Torah to your sons. I know many people translate it as your children, but the accurate translation is to teach your sons. So we're going to focus on that, that it specifically says your sons. And based on this, the Gemara learns that the mitzvah is to teach your sons, not to teach your daughters, because women are exempt from Torah learning. Okay, so that's the premise that we're working on over here, is that women are exempt from Torah learning. So what we're going to look at in particular is we're going to see how the Alter Rebbe brings us in his Shulchan Aruch. And we'll have a few questions about the way that he proposes this law, the order in which he puts it. We're going to compare what the Alter Rebbe says in the laws of Talmud Torah, the laws of Torah study, compared to what he says in the laws of Birchos HaTorah, saying the bracha over Torah learning. Because we naturally assume that you can only say the bracha over Torah learning if you are obligated to study Torah. So that's where we're going to start our discussion over here. Why should women learn Torah if they're not obligated? Is there any time that a woman has to learn Torah? And compared to that, what's the story with saying the bracha over learning Torah for a woman if she's not obligated? So we'll begin with what the Alter Rebbe says in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And he says very clearly, just in case anybody was unsure about it, he says very clearly that women are not required to learn Torah. Okay, how do we know this? So look what he says. The language that he uses over here is very specific. Oops, sorry, that went ahead. Sorry, I just want to bring it back. Okay, so what's the thing? No, sorry, there we go. Isha eina b'mitzvah talmud Torah. A woman is not included in the mitzvah of Torah learning. Why not? Shenemar, because as the pasuk we've just quoted says, "Velimadatem oisam es b'neichem," that you have a requirement to teach Torah to your sons, "Veloi es b'noseichem," not to your daughters. So it's a gender-specific mitzvah. And then he continues, "Okeshem she'ein ova mitzvahs Talmud Torah le'atzma," just as a woman is not required to learn Torah for herself. So she's also not required to ensure that her sons are given a Torah education. It's the husband's job, not her job. And therefore, she does not have any financial obligation to ensure the education of her children. Interesting, right? The most that we could do is you can't force a woman to pay for her son's Torah education unless she's wealthy, in which case we could force her out of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, that's not the part that we're going to focus on. The part that we'll focus on is Isha eina b'mitzvahs Talmud Torah. A woman is not included in the Torah obligation to study Torah. Let's see what he says next, because this is where we'll begin to focus. What does he say next? Okay, so a woman is not required to learn Torah. That's clear. She's not required to learn Torah. However, if she assists either her son or her husband to learn Torah, in whichever way she does it, she physically assists them or she actively assists, however, then choylekes schari mohem, she shares the reward of their Torah learning with them. Uschara gadol, and her reward is great. Me'acha shehim mitzuvim v'oisim al yada. It's a very interesting expression. So her reward will be very great. Why? Because her husband and her son are mitzuvim v'oisim. They are instructed to fulfill the mitzvah of Torah learning. And we know, generally speaking in Torah, that if a person does something that they are instructed, that they are required to do, that has a greater reward than something that a person does when they are not required to do. So even though the logic would make you think that if somebody volunteers for something, it's greater than if they do so out of obligation, actually, as far as the Torah is concerned, a person who does something because Hashem said so gets a greater reward than if they do something because they chose to. So what does he say over here? That a woman shares the reward of her husband or her son's Torah learning when she assists him to learn Torah because they fulfill their obligation through her. It's a very interesting expression. Okay, so what did he tell us? He told us, Keshem she'eino b'mitzvos Talmud Torah l'atzmo, right? We said that she is not required. I'm just putting this into order now. What have we said? We said that she is not required to learn Torah. And likewise, she is not required to get her children to learn Torah. However, if she helps them, so you see the order? First, we're told that she is not obligated to learn. And not only is she not obligated to learn, she's not obligated to pay for her child's education. Then it says, but if she does, can you see the flow? So she's not obligated to assist her child to learn Torah. But if she does, then she is considered to share in that incredible reward of learning Torah. Okay? And now comes the interesting part. You ready? Now comes the interesting part. This is the part that you think, wait one second. Why does this go over here? This should have possibly gone at the beginning. After he tells us that women are not required to learn Torah, then he tells us that women are also not required to ensure the education of their sons. But, he continues, if they do help their children or their husbands to learn Torah, they share in the reward. And then he tells us, but women are required to learn the practical halachas that apply to them. Surely the logic should be that should have been first. Surely the Alter Rebbe should have started by saying, women are required to learn any practical halacha that is relevant in their lives. Point one. Then point two, besides that, they are not obligated to learn any other part of Torah. Point three, and if they assist their husbands or their children to learn, they also share in the reward. So it seems strange that the Alter Rebbe, I mean, this is a book of halacha. Usually, the logical way that a book of halacha would work is, first tell me what my obligation is, then tell me what things may not fall under that obligation. So first tell me that a woman is obligated to learn those laws that are relevant to her, and then tell me the exceptions. She doesn't have to learn other things. She doesn't even have to educate her child. And then at the end, and if she does, she shares in the reward. So the order over here seems to be very strange, and it does not seem to follow a logical pattern. That's point number one. Point number two, when we have a look at what the Alter Rebbe writes, also in his Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Birchas HaShachar, the brochas that you have to say in the morning, what does he say there? Noshim mevorchos birchos haTorah. Women do say the brocha over Torah in the morning. Not just one brocha. There's a few, right? There's Asher Kicham Al Divrei Torah, and then there's Asher Bachar Banu. So there are a few brochas that we say in the morning over the mitzvah to study Torah. What does the Alter Rebbe say? Women are obligated to say those brochas in the morning. Sheharei chayavos lilmod mitzvah shelohen leida heach laasos. Why do they have to say that brocha in the morning? You can only say the brocha over something that you are obligated to do. So you would only say the brocha over the Torah learning in the morning if you're obligated to learn Torah. Now, you've just told me that they're not obligated to learn Torah. So why do they say that brocha? Because they have, because they have those mitzvahs that they need to know how to do. Therefore, they have an obligation to learn about those mitzvahs that they are required to do. So therefore they say the brocha in the morning. This is going to raise four questions for us. Question number one. The Alter Rebbe said clearly, Isha eina b'mitzvahs Talmud Torah, that a woman has no mitzvah to study Torah. If she does not have a mitzvah to study Torah, how can she say a brocha over the mitzvah to study Torah? Not only that, the Gemara tells us in Brochas, Noshim b'may zachyon, what is a woman's merit in context of learning Torah? Because the Gemara takes it as a given that she's not obligated to learn Torah. So what is her merit in context of Torah? Ba'kriya b'nayir b'nei knishta, by the fact that they send their sons to learn in the shul or in the base medrash, or ba'snoi gavrayu, and that they tell their husbands that they should go to the shiur. In other words, the Gemara seems to be pretty clear that she doesn't get the mitzvah of learning Torah herself. The only mitzvah associated with learning Torah is getting her husband or her son to learn. So you don't make a brocha over that. You don't make a brocha over the fact that somebody else has a mitzvah to perform and you facilitate it. So why should a woman make a brocha over the mitzvah to learn Torah in the morning if she's not obligated to learn Torah? Also, the Gemara in Sota, very famous Gemara in Sota, because there it talks about, is it possible that a woman would have a schus, some kind of a merit, where in spite of the fact that she was unfaithful to her husband, there'll be a delay in the Sota water affecting her? And the Gemara, there's two different opinions. The Gemara suggests that it is possible, that there might be the possibility of her having a schus, some kind of a merit, that delays the onset of the Sota effects. So the Gemara asks the question, Zechus demai, what would be her schus? What would be the special merit that protects her? And the Gemara says, "E lema schus Torah, if you're going to say that her merit is that she learns Torah, she is not commanded to learn Torah." So there you have it again. Not commanded to learn Torah. You only say a brocha over a mitzvah that you are commanded to do. As the general rule goes, if you're unsure whether or not to say a brocha, you don't say the brocha. So how is it that the same Alter Rebbe who decides in his laws of Talmud Torah that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of learning Torah? Yes, she has to know practically the laws that relate to her. But that's not a mitzvah of learning Torah. That is a practical thing that you have to do so you know how you're supposed to behave as a Jewish person. But the mitzvah of learning Torah, women don't have. And we have two Gemaras over here that indicate that it's clear to the rabbis, the only connection that a woman has to the mitzvah of learning Torah is secondhand, what she achieves by getting her children or her husband to learn Torah. So how can you say a brocha over a mitzvah that is not your mitzvah to do? And question number four, he says that the reason that he gives why you say a brocha over, why a woman says a brocha over learning Torah is because she has to know those laws that are relevant to her. Hey, achla asois, how to behave as a Jewish woman. Logically then, when she reaches the point, as we all do, where now you know how you're supposed to behave. So she knows the laws that she's supposed to observe. In that case, she now no longer has a mitzvah to learn Torah. Because the only justification we gave why she should be required to learn Torah would be to know what to do. So now that she knows what to do, there's no need to learn any further. If there's no need to learn any further, how can she say the brocha every single morning? Every single morning to say the mitzvah of learning Torah, she's not obliged to learn Torah, number one. And number two, she's reached the point where the practical side of learning Torah, in order to know what to do as a Jewish person, she's already achieved. So our big overarching question at this point is, why would a woman have to say a brocha daily over the mitzvah to learn Torah if it would appear that that is actually not her mitzvah? Our earlier question was, why when the Rambam gives the list, when the Alter Rebbe gives the list of the mitzvahs or the elements associated with the mitzvah of Torah learning relating to a woman, why does he not start first with the most practical? This is what they need to do. They need to learn the halachas and then go from there into the other factors. Why does he leave that for last? So to give us a little bit of an insight and to try and help us understand this, Rebbe, do you have a question?
Yes. This question is really at the Rambam, says that he's not allowed to make a bracha, but today, like on lulav and sukkah and shofar, they make a bracha. So what is it so compelled that they make a bracha? I quote the Rambam instead, but I quote the Al Rebbe. Is it such a problem?
Well, let's see. Let's see. Effectively, at this point, the Rebbe is asking the question without necessarily bringing in other sources, even though there are other sources, the Gemara itself. I'm saying specifically about saying a brocha. He's asking specifically on the language of the Alter Rebbe, and you'll see by the end of the Sicha that the Rebbe is building to a specific understanding of how the Alter Rebbe words it. So maybe it doesn't appear to be such a big question on the face of it as it would be, let's say, compared to the Rambam, but he's building to a particular understanding. Okay, so let's see how it develops.
Okay.
So the first thing he does is compares as a Gemara that is brought both in Bava Kamma and is brought in Sanhedrin. But we're going to focus on the one in Bava Kamma because a little bit later there's a quotation from the Gemara in Bava Kamma that's going to be important for us in the same context. So Rabbi Meir Oimer, Minayin Shafiru Nochri Voisik Batoya Shehu Kekoyein Godol. You hear this? How do you know, says Rabbi Meir, that if a non-Jewish person, we're asking the question about a woman who is not obligated to learn Torah. So let's compare it now to somebody who clearly is not obligated to learn Torah, a non-Jewish person. In fact, a non-Jewish person is not supposed to learn Torah. So says Rabbi Meir, how do you know that a non-Jewish person who learns Torah could be compared to a Kohen Gadol, to the ultimate most spiritual person in the community? Talmud Loima, therefore the Torah tells us in Pashas Achare Mois, Asher Ya'ase Oysom Ha'adam V'chai Bohem. These are the mitzvahs that the man should do and live with him. Says Rabbi Meir, Koihanim Ulevim B'Yisraelim Loinemar. The Torah does not specify different types of Jews when it says that you have to do mitzvahs and learn Torah in order to know how to do mitzvahs. Ela Adam, it uses a generic term, Adam. Adam is man. This comes to teach you. That if a non-Jewish person studies Torah, he is compared to a Kohen Gadol, the ultimate. Now, hang on a second. What do you mean if he learns Torah? We said that a non-Jewish person is not supposed to learn Torah. So the Mefarshim tell us the Torah we're dealing with over here is the laws of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Every single human being on the planet is required to follow seven mitzvahs. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And not just because they want to be good people and moral people, but they have to learn and observe the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach because Hashem instructed them through Moshe at Har Sinai. Therefore, how does a non-Jewish person know what the sheva mitzvahs are and how to observe them? They have to learn Torah. So this is what Rabbi Meir is referring to. He's referring to learning Torah that is relevant to them. So now you can see why we're comparing this to our conversation. Because in our conversation, we want to know about women learning Torah that is relevant to them. Women learning those parts of Torah that speak to what a woman is obligated to do as a Jewish woman. So we're comparing this to the parts of Torah that a non-Jew lahavdil has to learn, which is relevant to what a non-Jewish person has to do as far as Hashem is concerned. What do we see over here? We see something fascinating. The Rabbi Meir does not say a non-Jew is required to learn about the Sheva Mitzvahs for practical reasons. Because how else would you know what you're supposed to do as a Noahite? He doesn't say that. He says we learn that if a non-Jewish person studies that part of Torah that is relevant to him or to her, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that person is comparable to a Kohen Gadol. Why to the Kohen Gadol? The Gemara in Sota talks about this, and Tosfos brings it on this Gemara. Ha, the Nakat Kohen Gadol says, Tosfos, why does it say a Kohen Gadol? Mishum the Darashinon B'Sota, because we learn in the Gemara Sota that the Torah is called Yukarahi Mipninim. It's considered to be something that is more precious than pearls. And the Gemara there says, what's Pninim? It's a play on words. Mikoyen Gadol anichnas lifnai velifnim. that the Torah is more precious even than the Kohen Gadol who goes lifnai v'lifnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Rebbe points out that when a Jewish person learns Torah, it is greater than the Kohen Gadol. And when a non-Jewish person learns Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it is Ke Kohen Gadol. Now, what are we saying over here? Ke Kohen Gadol. We're obviously saying that it's not just for practical reasons that a non-Jew has to learn the details of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. It's comparing it to how a Jewish person learns Torah, which is like the Kohen Gadol. In other words, it indicates, it seems to imply over here, that when a non-Jewish person who is clearly only learning for the sake of knowing what to do, he definitely is not obliged to learn Torah for Torah's sake. Yet, when he learns Torah to know what to do, here the Gemara clearly counts it as though he is fulfilling the obligation to learn Torah. So if that is true of a non-Jewish person, that would seem to tell us something about a woman. Yes, a woman learns those halachas that are relevant to her to know how she should behave. But based on this Gemara, when she learns those halachas, that would seem to imply that it is as powerful as learning Torah for Torah's sake, not just learning Torah to prepare to know how to do a mitzvah. Rebbe, you raised your hand. Okay, moving along.
What's the proof of prepare? It says Ha'atam. Ha'atam refers to a Jew. No.
So I think if I understood correctly, the Torah says Adam Atem, right? Yeshayo Anavi says Adam Atem. And based on that, the Gemara says Atem Kruyum, Adam Ve'ein Ha'akum Nikrat, right? But that's Adam. Here the Torah uses the word Ha'adam. And if I understand correctly, what Rabbi Meir is saying over here is that the word Ha'adam is more generic and does not specifically refer to Jewish people only, but refers to all people.
Okay, fine. Got you.
Okay. So in order to understand what's going on over here, because now we're seeing something fascinating, we're seeing that we have two scenarios where a person's entire experience of Torah learning is only related to what they will do in practice. A woman is supposed to learn the halachas that she needs to know how to apply in practice. And lahavdil, a non-Jewish person has to learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in order to put them into practice. Except that this Gemara indicates that when a non-Jewish person does learn that part of the Torah just to put it into practice, it is actually considered as if he's learning Torah. So maybe we can refer the same thing to a woman as well. But we first have to understand how it works. See, if you have a look in the Rambam, when he talks about how it is possible for a person to mess up the hakravas hakorban, bringing a korban. So he says, Nimtzis lameid sheba arba avoidas hazevach nifsal b'machshava. We're going to learn that if the Kohen has the wrong thoughts while he's bringing a korban, so let's say he thinks, for argument's sake, that he's going to bring it today, but only eat it when it's already expired, for example. So that would disqualify the korban. So the Rambam says that those inappropriate thoughts can disqualify a korban at four key times. B'shchita, at the time that he slaughters the animal, because obviously that is a key part of the process of bringing a korban. Over Kabbalah, and when he then collects the blood from that animal into a container to go sprinkle on the Mizbeach, that is a key part of the korban. Over Hoilochas Adam, and when he walks from wherever he shechted the animal till the Mizbeach to be able to sprinkle, or Vizrikosei ala Mizbeach, as well as at the time when he's actually sprinkling the blood. So if in any one of those four times the Kohen has the wrong thoughts, he disqualifies the korban. What's fascinating over here is that on the list is Hilachas Adam. Hilachas Adam just simply means a practical thing. How do you get, you have a mitzvah to shecht the animal, you've done that mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to sprinkle blood on the Mizbeach. The only way you can sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach practically is you have to walk it there. You have to take it from the area where they shechted the animals, all the way to the part of the mizbeach where you would sprinkle. So ha'ilachas adam does not seem to be part of the mitzvah of bringing a korban. It seems just to be a practical thing that you have to do because there's no other way to get the blood there. So the Rambam is showing us something very interesting over here, that when you do something that is part of a process in order to facilitate a mitzvah happening, that part of the process is already considered a mitzvah. So we want to try and apply that to the learning of a woman, or for that matter, the havdil, the learning of a non-Jewish person, just to understand the logic. That just because something is the preparation for something else, depending on what the something else is, it can elevate the preparation to be considered a mitzvah itself. To use the language of the Rogachava, so the Rogachava says, Af shezeh siba, even though the one is just a cause for the other. So the carrying of the blood is just a cause to allow you to be able to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. It's not fundamental to the mitzvah, it's just practical. Or like the woman learning those laws that are practical for her. It's not fundamental to her mitzvah of learning Torah, it's just to facilitate so she'll know how to be a Jewish woman. Ach mikol mokem, says the Rogachava, ze hechrech, because that it's unavoidable. There is no other way to get the blood to the mizbeach. There is no other way to know how to be a Jewish woman. This is fundamental. If you don't have this information, if you don't have this learning, you won't know how to be a Jewish woman. If you don't carry the blood, you won't be able to sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Therefore, he says, "Venase kamoi etzem," that actually becomes not just a facilitation, not just a precursor, but it actually becomes the core of the mitzvah. So in the case of moving the blood, now the moving of the blood becomes the core of the mitzvah of bringing a korban. Why? Because there is no other way to get the blood to the mizbeach to facilitate the next part, the next stage of the process. So now it is considered part of the process. There's no other way to get information into somebody's head except to learn it. So therefore, even though the reason that she's learning is in order to know what to do, but because there's no other way to know what to do, that should upgrade her learning, not just to be considered a means to an end, a way to be practically capable of living Jewish, it's actually upgraded to be mitzvahs Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of learning Torah. In other words, we now can understand why a woman has to say the bracha over the Torah every single day, because when she learns those practical halachas that she has to apply in her life, that does not mean that those practical halachas are only for the sake of, sorry, that learning is only for the sake of practice. But rather, it's that this learning is now considered her Talmud Torah, her greatness of learning Torah. Okay? So that might address for us why it is or how it is that a woman says Birchas HaTorah. The problem with this is that this does not seem to work nicely with all the other things that we learned. In fact, on the contrary, it might just expand those original questions. So, in other words, if it's true that a woman learning the practical halachas in order to know what to do is considered like she's learning Torah, then number one, why does the Gemara seem to be absolutely convinced that she does not have the full experience of learning Torah? All she has at best is to help her son and her husband. And number two, why then does the Alter Rebbe put that phrase, that paragraph about learning halachas that are practical for women at the end of the story of women learning Torah? If it's true what the Rogachava is teaching us and what we're learning from this Gemara about the non-Jew being compared to a Kohen Gadol, and therefore learning Torah for a woman is, even when just about her practical halachas, is considered like learning properly, then surely that's all the more reason why the Alter Rebbe should have quoted it first. He should have started off by saying, women are required to learn those halachas that are relevant to them. Now that we know that that qualifies as proper Torah learning, and then get into the other details. But she's not required to learn other things, and she's not even required to educate her son. And if she does, it'll be a great thing, and so on and so forth. So just to recap, so that what this does for us, now that we have said that women by learning Torah for the sake of doing is considered like learning Torah proper, why does the Alter Rebbe put that at the end? To know their practical halachas, why does he put it at the end? And how come the Gemara seems so convinced that a woman is not obligated to learn Torah? So for that, we're going to have to go back to that Gemara in Bava Kamma. Because after Rabbi Meir spoke about how a non-Jewish person who learns Torah is considered like a Kohen Gadol, because it's so beautiful and amazing and he's fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah by learning the practical things about an Ochad, commenting on that, the Gemara says, Omri, Ein mekablin aleyen schar ki metzuve v'oise, ela kemi she'enoi metzuve v'oise. Rabbi Meir, you're 100% right. Rabbi Meir, when a non-Jewish person learns that part of Torah that is relevant to the Sheva mitzvahs, it is considered as if he is doing the mitzvah of Torah learning to the extent that a non-Jewish person can do it. And obviously by extension for our conversation, when a woman, lahavdil, learns those laws of Torah that are relevant to being a Jewish woman, she fulfills the mitzvah of learning Torah to the extent that a woman can fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. But, big but, says the Gemara, Omri, the Gemara commented on that. Mitzvah you get, but reward for the mitzvah. Seeing as a non-Jewish person is not instructed by Hashem to learn Torah, and the only reason that the non-Jew has to learn Torah is practically to know what he or she should do as a Noahide. Therefore, mitzvah you get, but reward is a lesser reward. Because although you might have thought that the person who volunteers for a mitzvah deserves more reward, the Torah is absolutely clear, Gadol ha-metzuve v'oise, that a person who is given a direct instruction in the Torah to do a mitzvah, and they then do it, the reward that they receive is superior to the reward that somebody who does the same mitzvah out of not obligation, out of volunteering, they would get less of a reward. So the non-Jewish person who learns the part of Torah about the seven Noahide laws gets a mitzvah of learning Torah at the top level of mitzvah of learning Torah. But the reward that they will receive for having learned that Torah would be less than you and I, because you and I are obligated to learn Torah. By the same token, when a woman learns Torah, yes, she gets the mitzvah 100%. As long as she's learning those parts of Torah that are directly relevant to her life, she gets the mitzvah of learning Torah like a Kohen Gadol. But what's going to happen to her in terms of the reward? The reward is less. That's why the Gemara, both in Brochus and in Soita, is 100% convinced that if she wants to get the reward at the same level as you and I get when we learn Torah, for that she's going to have to help her husband or her son. So let's read the Gemara in Soita. Ravina Omar, so the Gemara asked the question, how could it be the schus, the merit of Torah, that would protect a woman? Ravina Omar, lo'olam schus Torah. Absolutely 100%. Her merit will be the merit of Torah learning. But you'll say, how could she possibly have any merit for learning Torah? She's not instructed to learn Torah. Says Ravina, nehi difkudo lamifkedo. Oh, you're right, she's not instructed. You're 100% right. There's no mitzvah. It says in Imadtem Oysam Es B'neichem that you have to teach sons. And there's no obligation for the daughters to learn Torah. Nevertheless, be'agra, in reward for the fact, the fact that they encourage or they assist their children to learn Torah, and they wait patiently for their husbands to come back from the base medrash, from the shiur, from the yeshiva. Listen to the wording. Mi loy palgon ba'dayu. Do they not get to share their reward? We're clearly seeing over here two things. There is the concept of the mitzvah of learning Torah, and then there's the concept of the reward you receive for having done that mitzvah. As far as the mitzvah of learning Torah is concerned, when a woman learns those halachas that are relevant to her personally, she gets the mitzvah of learning Torah 100%, like as if I was learning a Daf Gemara. And therefore, every single morning, she can say the bracha of the brachas over the Torah, because every time she goes back, even if she knows those laws already from before, when she goes back and she learns those halachas, it's 100% the value of the mitzvah of Torah, a mitzvah she is obligated to do in that context for which she can make a bracha. But when you want to know how the mitzvah of Talmud Torah will affect her, what kind of take home she'll have, what kind of reward she'll have, less than a man. Why? Not because she is less than a man, but because she is not obligated, and you only get the ultimate reward for a particular mitzvah when you are obligated to do that mitzvah. So how does a woman get to share that incredible schar, that unique reward that is only available to men when they learn Torah? How? By being a partner with a man. That's what he says, Miloy Palgon Bahadayu. By virtue of the fact that the woman gets her son to learn, or gets her husband to learn, she becomes a partner, and therefore does she not share that reward, the reward of a mitzvah va'isa? Two clearly different things we're dealing with. One thing is her mitzvah 100%. She learns the laws that are relevant to her. It's a mitzvah, like it's a mitzvah for us to learn Torah, to get the ultimate reward for learning Torah, because when she learns, it's in order to facilitate doing a mitzvah. So to get the ultimate reward for learning Torah, for that, she has to partner with the men in her life, her kids and her husbands. Now, what's interesting about this, though, is you have to ask yourself a question. Hang on a second. Where do we ever see such a thing? Where do we ever see that if I facilitate you doing a mitzvah, I get part of the reward? Use tzedakah as an example. If I give a poor person money, I have fulfilled a mitzvah called tzedakah. If that poor person takes the money that I gave them and they use that money, for example, to put food on their table for Shabbos, that's a mitzvah, obviously, to oneg Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to honor Shabbos. Do I now also get the mitzvah or a share of the reward? Okay, I don't get the mitzvah. I don't know. Do I get a share of the reward of their Shabbos because I paid for it? Never. It's never suggested by anybody. I mean, can you imagine? Then people would rack up all kinds of reward. I mean, maybe it would be a great way to motivate people to give more tzedakah. Because if I give you tzedakah, or I give somebody tzedakah, and they then use it for a mitzvah, I get. But it's not brought in any place as even a remote suggestion that when a person facilitates somebody else doing a mitzvah, they get a reward of doing that mitzvah. So why suddenly here? Why suddenly a woman facilitates her husband going to the shir? How? Because she doesn't complain when he goes. That's what the Gemara says. She waits patiently for him to come home. Now she should share the reward of him doing that mitzvah of learning Torah. It's nice. It sounds beautiful. It's the kind of thing you want to tell a woman to encourage her to send her husband to learn. It sounds magnificent. He's doing the work. She's getting the schar. But is it true? Does it have basis in Torah? Oh, so I know what you're going to say. Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar and Zvulun, that's what you're going to say, right? Yisachar and Zvulun, there's a difference. What's the difference between Yisachar and Zvulun and this? Yisachar and Zvulun make a partnership whereby the one says, I will take care of your responsibility. You have a responsibility. Like the famous story with the Alter Rebbe when he went over to a melamed, to a tutor, and he said, you have the mitzvah to look after and support your family, and I have the mitzvah to educate my son. Let's exchange mitzvahs. I'll help look after your family and you'll educate my son. Yisachar and Zvulun is not just a partnership in the generalized sense of the one saying, I'll work, you learn. It's saying, I will facilitate your learning by taking care of other obligations that you would have that now I'm taking on. So you have the obligation to look after your family, to provide for your family. I'll take that obligation. And in exchange for that, I'll share your reward of doing, of learning Torah. And by the way, we very, very famously know the Gemara tells us the difference between different partners. Some who did get it right and some who did not get it right. Like, for example, the person who chapter right afterwards and he goes to Hillel and says, oh, you're such a big scholar. I'd like to buy into your learning. It's a bit late now. Over here, all we're saying is that the woman facilitates, she allows her husband to learn. in whichever way it is, she's not mitzvah v'oisei. Yisachar and Zebulun, they're both men, they're both required to learn Torah. So the one says, I have a mitzvah to learn Torah, but I'm going to work instead and give you what you need in order to sustain yourself. And that way we'll share my mitzvah that I have to learn Torah. Whereas over here, when you're talking about a woman, she has no mitzvah. That's our whole point. She has no mitzvah. Right? She has no mitzvah to learn Torah. So now suddenly, because she facilitates her husband going to learn, she gets to share in the mitzvah. Understand that emotionally, it sounds good. It talks to us. But the bottom line, how does it work? What's the halachic basis? I'm not sure I understand the question. What about other mitzvahs the women are not commanded to do that they have taken on? Do they get a reward? It's an interesting question. They do 100% get a reward. That's exactly the Gemara's point, that you can't compare the reward for einoi mitzvah v'oise. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So when the non-Jewish person lahavdil learns Torah in order to know about the Sheva mitzvahs, he gets a reward. But the Gemara is very clear, the reward is less because he's not obligated. Likewise, if a woman undertakes a mitzvah that she's not obligated to do, does she get reward? Yes. But does she get the same reward as somebody who's required to do it? No. That's our question. How is it now that the Gemara proposes that a woman gets to share the reward of the mitzvah ve'oise, her husband who is required to learn Torah, how does she now get a part of that reward if all that she has done is facilitated? So she's not chayev. It's not like she's made a deal to say, I will not be able to fulfill my mitzvah, but I'm going to put you as my shliach, like a Yisachar Zebulun, on my behalf. She's not required to do it. So how does this work magically that suddenly we're going to say she fulfills the mitzvah? Or at least she fulfills the mitzvah, we said. She gets the reward. So we're going to have to find somewhere else, another area of halacha, where a woman helps her husband to fulfill his mitzvah, and she gets to share in the reward. What would that be? So, the run in Parasha, in the beginning of Kiddushin, says like this: does a woman have a mitzvah to procreate? The Torah tells us, Peru Uruvu, that you should be fruitful and multiply. So, it's a mitzvah to procreate. Chronologically, the first mitzvah in the Torah. Does a woman have the requirement to procreate? So the Ran, in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, says, no. It's not her obligation. It's not her obligation. But, mikol mokom yesh lo mitzvah, even though it's not her obligation, it is still considered a mitzvah for her. Why? Listen to this. Mipnei shehi misayas lebal lekayem mitzvosoi. Because she assists her husband to fulfill his mitzvah. If not for the wife, the husband would be unable to fulfill his mitzvah of procreation. So because she's integral to his fulfillment of the mitzvah, therefore she gets mitzvah too. Now you have to understand, what is the Ran saying? Is the Ran saying she gets the mitzvah of helping him? Or is the Ran saying that she gets to share his mitzvah? Right? It's two possible ways that this could work, right? Is she just assisting to do the mitzvah? Or, and therefore she has the mitzvah of facilitation? Or does she have part of the mitzvah of pru uravu? Why? Because without her, it would not be possible. So we go with the latter. We say that's what it is. Based on the Gemara in Soita, what does the Gemara say in Soita? The Gemara said, palgin bahadayu. The Gemara says that she shares, those women who assist their husbands by allowing them to go to the shir, pal go'on bahadayhu. They split the experience, which means the mitzvah and the reward of the mitzvah, with the husband. Why? Because the fact that she is the facilitator, she's the one who allows his mitzvah to happen, she becomes a mesayas, someone who helps the mitzvah to be, therefore she gets 100% of the value, the reward of that mitzvah, because without her, it wouldn't have happened. If she would have given him a hard time, if she would have complained about going to the shir, if she would have insisted that he comes back at a particular time and that he can't go to the shir or anything like that, he would not have been able to do the mitzvah. So because she facilitates, like in Pru Ravu, she's the one who facilitates him being able to procreate, therefore she shares that mitzvah as if it's her mitzvah. Likewise, over here, the fact that she facilitates her husband going to learn, she shares the full schar of doing the mitzvah. Rebbe says every person learns in order to do mitzvahs because it says, God the Talmud, that maybe they may say, that is true, except that there are areas of Torah that have nothing at all to do with halacha lemaisa. So there's areas of Gemara that are not practical in halacha. There's Medrash, there's Kabbalah, there's various areas that are not relevant directly to maisa. What's unique about a woman is that her mitzvah is only a mitzvah, only in areas that are directly relevant to maisa, to practice. So what have we learned so far? We've learned that when a woman learns Torah, even if the area of Torah that she's obliged to learn is only a small area of Torah that's relevant to her practical mitzvah observance, when she learns that part of Torah, it is 100% the mitzvah of learning Torah, not only the mitzvah of preparing to do a mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah. It's the actual mitzvah of learning Torah. Number two, what have we learned? Now we have learned that when a woman assists her husband to be able to learn Torah, she shares the reward of his Torah learning. Why? Because without her, he couldn't have done it. There's just one little question about this, and in context of the Alter Rebbe's Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Gemara in Yevamos tells a story. There was a woman who came to complain to Rav Nachman, and basically she wanted a divorce. What was she complaining about? She was complaining that her husband refused to have children, and that, she said, was grounds for divorce. So Rav Nachman says to her, "Lo mifkados, you're not obligated to have children. So if you refuse to have children, your husband could divorce you because you're not allowing him to fulfill a Torah obligation, pru ravu, that he has to procreate. You're not required to have children. So how can you complain that your husband doesn't want to have children and therefore you should be divorced?" Amrelei, so she said, "Rav Nachman, loy baya ha'chitasa chuter lida omar likvura." He said, "What? And when I'm an old lady, I don't need children to be able to look after me? I'm not asking from a perspective of whether I have an obligation in Torah or not. I'm asking practically. My husband is denying me the opportunity that one day when I'm an old woman that I'll have people to look after me." Omar said, then Rav Nachman said, "Ki ho vaday kfinon. Such a situation, we can definitely force him to divorce because he's denying you the opportunity to have what you need in a later life." Now this is interesting because basically this Gemara indicates that her participation in procreation is not a consideration at all. We've just said, according to the Ran, that because she's Mesayas, she helps to ensure, she's a critical component of the mitzvah pru urevu. Therefore, the Ran says it's a mitzvah for her as it is a mitzvah for him. By that logic, Rav Nachman should have said straight away, "What? Your husband doesn't want to have children. He's denying you the opportunity to assist him to fulfill the mitzvah, which for you is also a mitzvah." Rav Nachman doesn't say that. He just says, "Oh, practical reasons. That's a good enough grounds for divorce." So how come it is then that the Ran tells us it is 100% her mitzvah and the Gemara doesn't seem to pick up on it? So anybody could work this out. Anybody could work out that with her, she could choose to do that mitzvah. With him, he is required to do the mitzvah. In other words, if a man chooses to never marry, he's violated a law in the Torah Pru Urevu. If a woman chooses never to marry, she's lost an opportunity to have that mitzvah, but she hasn't violated anything because she was not required to do it. In other words, we are now seeing that when it comes to mitzvahs, there are two kinds of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that you are obligated to do, and there are mitzvahs that you are not obligated to do, but if you should do them, you get the mitzvah. We've also seen that when it comes to a woman learning Torah, there are two components. There are the laws that she has to know in order to know how to behave as a Jewish person, as a Jewish woman. Those laws she's obligated to learn. So therefore, when she learns those laws, she gets the mitzvah of learning Torah. But there's another component of Torah which is not obligatory for her. What is that? To learn Torah like a man learns Torah. Not only for the sake of fulfilling mitzvahs, but because there's a requirement to learn Torah for which you get incredible reward. That she doesn't have to do. She's not required to do it. But should she choose to participate, should she choose to become the sayas to help her husband by sending him off to the shiur, by sending her kids to school, by checking up that they're learning, then she will get to share the mitzvah like the woman gets to share the mitzvah of Pru Uruvu. Not because she has to, but once she chooses to, she gets 100% of the reward. Therefore, in Birchas HaTorah, when the Alter Rebbe talks about the mitzvah, that you have to say a brocha over the mitzvah, he can only refer that to those mitzvahs that a woman is required to do, because that's when there is a mitzvah. You can only say a brocha over something you're required to do. So when Alter Rebbe talks about Birchas HaTorah and he says that a woman every single morning has to say a brocha over the Torah, how does he explain it? Because there are certain parts of Torah she has to learn. She has to learn the parts of Torah that are relevant to behavior. And therefore, for those parts of Torah, he says, that's why she says a brocha. But when he talks about Talmud Torah, when he's in the laws of Talmud Torah, he's not speaking specifically about a woman's obligation. He's talking about the concept of learning Torah. The concept of learning Torah, not just so you should know what to do, but the concept of learning Torah, because Torah is something we're obligated to learn. That's for men. And he has to tell us straight, right from the beginning, that is for men, and a woman is not mitzvah. She does not have that requirement. That's the first thing he has to clarify. Then he has to clarify, and how does a woman gain access to that part of Torah? So therefore he says, and we call Mokum nevertheless, if she helps her child to learn Torah, or she helps her husband, that allows her to become a Messiah. She's not required to do it. But should she do it, then she becomes Messiah. She becomes an assistant to their mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And then she can share, like the Gemara in Sota said, Palgaon Bahadayu. She can share in the mitzvah that they have of learning Torah. That's why the Alter Rebbe used that strange language where he said that they are Mitzuvin Va'oisin Al Yodah. They are mitzuvin v'oisin, the ultimate level of Torah learning, where you do so because you're required to do it, which means you get the ultimate schar. How? Al yodah, thanks to them. Only after the Alter Rebbe has told us those key elements, then at the end he says, and by the way, there's also part of Torah that she's obligated to learn, but that's not the main focus of it. The main focus in this section, Hilchos Talmud Torah, is to tell us about the concept of learning Torah in and of itself. While we're about it, we also have to talk about the concept of learning Torah in order to fulfill a mitzvah, which a woman has to do in context of those laws that are relevant to her. And that's why his order is first to speak about how she helps her kids and her husband, and then to talk about the halachas that are relevant to her. What could that teach us in spiritual terms? Of course, we know that husband and wife throughout Torah are used as symbolic of Hashem and the Jewish people. And we know that Hashem tells us, Milu es ha'aretz v'chivshuha, that the instruction that was given to Adam Harishon was to fill the land and to conquer the land. If the man and woman, husband and wife, is always supposed to represent Hashem and us, then effectively what that means is Hashem is the one who gives you the koyach v'chivshuha, to conquer the world. That's why the instruction is directed at a man. The so-called man in the story, Hashem, is the one who can conquer the world. Hashem is the one who can conquer the helem, which is the real meaning of the word oilam, the concealment, the spiritual blindness of the world. Only Hashem can conquer it. Only Hashem has that mitzvah. Only Hashem has that power. But he invites us in. That's why we say, Darko shalich ish lichvoish. The way of the man is to conquer. The way of Hashem is to conquer. But then he invites us in and he says, the way we're going to do this, the way we're going to conquer the world, is you're going to do Torah mitzvahs. You're going to do Torah mitzvahs. You'll turn around and say, I'm going to do Torah mitzvahs. My Torah, I'm a human being. I have such limited abilities. I'm not even, I don't have the koyach of mitzvah v'oisa, so to speak. I don't have the koyach that you have, Hashem. You have the power to change the world. I don't have the power to change the world. I'm kind of like a volunteer, you know, I'm stepping up to help you. So a person might think, if I step up to help Hashem, then maybe my contribution is less than important. So therefore, it comes to teach us, Messiahs, when the woman helps to facilitate her husband's goal. Her husband's goal is to learn Torah. And what does she do? She doesn't actually open the Gemara. She doesn't actually go to the yeshiva. What does she do? She just allows him. She puts in her little bit of effort, her small contribution, to facilitate him doing what he has to do. That's the shutaf lakadosh baruch hu ma'aseh bereishis. Then we become a full partner with Hashem. As the Gemara says, palgon bahadayu, we share the value and the experience. It's considered as if we had done it. As if we had done it, even though we put in minor effort compared, obviously, to what Hashem could do. Our little bit of Torah mitzvahs, our so-called hackneyed contribution, you would think, what's it really worth? Comes along this series of halachas to teach us that when you messiah, when you help Hashem, the man in the story, to fulfill his goal, it's considered 100% as if you're a full-on partner. So when we are megala, when we reveal godliness in this world, ultimately it's Hashem is going to be doing most of the work. And we're just kind of like putting a finger, you know, to push. And yet Hashem gives us the credit and the value and the reward as if we had done it all ourselves. 100% schar for us, in spite of our relatively minimal contribution, which I think is quite encouraging for all of us.